Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Dagora.
1964.
Okay.
AKA, isn't it like Dagora the Space Monster or something like that, I think?
Something like that, yeah. It even says it, I think.
Now, okay. Thoughts?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, dude, me too.
And the quality was, the picture quality was fine, but the image was squashed.
Yeah, so it was like that stretch style.
Yeah, so the egg or the earth looked like an egg, and I was like, oh, maybe I should look somewhere else. But I was like, nah, this is fine. I'll just watch this. And like by the time I got done with it, I was like, yeah, I don't think the quality messed up the movie. I think the movie,
you know, there were certain things that came up that I was like there's certain things that were in the dub that I was going, wait a minute, is that what they said in Japanese? Is that really what it is? That I decided to, I kind of sought it out and I found it on that, that archive.org site that we've used a few times. Yeah. And, they have a Japanese version with subtitles on there.
Right.
But like I was mainly looking for that part where like the part where he says, oh, Japanese tea. Oh, I like this very much. Oh, right. Green soybeans. Very good flavor. That old stuff. Yeah. Or that also the part at the beginning when the Mark Davis knocks that guy out and he goes, I can't believe you fell for a karate chop. You know. And so I mean it. Basically, that's what he says. So in the Japanese version, he says something like that. I can't believe you fell for a karate chop. but it's worse in the American one, being where he's almost like, you know, you sure you're Japanese? It says something like something really weird like that. That was like, oh my gosh,
God! You know how you always talk about how if you have the option, you'll put in like the dub and then also the subtitles.
Yeah, to follow along and see where they change. Yeah,
I thought about doing that for your movie on Netflix.
Oh, good idea.
To see the changes.
By the way, nobody knows him here on Netflix now.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it. My mom sent me a text.
You know what else? I found out that like they sent me a link. The song, I sing a song in it. The song is not only that, it's on iTunes and Spotify.
You have a song on iTunes?
Yeah. Well, it's not really my song.
But I mean, you're singing it. You're performing it.
It's Carlos,
right?
Cabeza's song that is featuring me.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, my mom sent me a text the other day. She's like, oh, I'm halfway through Jorge's movie. I really like it. I'm like, oh, cool. I should probably watch it. I heard good things. Okay. My thoughts on this movie.
Go ahead.
Okay. I feel like Ishiro Honda wanted to experiment with film and different techniques. And the studio said, we're not going to give you money to go and experiment. Here, take this script and shoot something. And you could do all the experimenting you want. But yeah, you can't just test things. You have to make it a movie. And he got his hand on two scripts.
He did two scripts.
Yeah.
There's definitely but listen, the notion that there's two different movies going on in the same movie is not new to this podcast.
No.
There's always like, it's like it's part spy thriller, part Godzilla movie. We've had these before.
This one seems more separate. Here's my issue. There's definitely this monster attack movie where you follow like the doctor and the scientists who are trying to do this. There's also definitely a diamond heist movie. And now you have the doctor in one story and you have this G-man in the other story, and they both have a mutual friend, which is this detective.
Yeah.
I thought halfway through the film, I'm like, these two stories have to come together. There's got to be a reason. They're going to need to use the diamond somehow. This monster squid is sucking up all these rocks into the into the right. atmosphere. They're going to use right. these diamonds and have those go up there and destroy the monster. I assume they were going to cross over. They really don't.
They cross over in a sense where
they have a mutual friend.
It's part of like finding out that the diamonds were fake,
right?
Because the monster had no interest in them. That was part of it.
Yeah.
The fact that the diamond thieves get the big stones dropped on top of them. The dead Dagoras.
That was amazing. When those guys got squashed. That was like the greatest punchline, but it did like, I don't know.
Did you recognize the guy with the good top teeth, bad bottom teeth?
No.
Oh no.
I wasn't paying attention.
He's the one. He was the diamond thief who was always, you know.
Oh, the scared guy.
He was guy in, he kept talking like Edward G. Robinson. He would be like, "No, see." He kept saying stuff like that. And he was. He was like the leader. He was like one of the villains in and I think it might have been, was it King Kong versus Godzilla with the guy who had the one where they had that thing where they were making that yellow mustard stuff that they were spraying in the water. And that guy who was like real kind of a flamboyant, kind of like a Bond villain flamboyant.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And he had really bad bottom teeth and like caps on top.
Oh, that was him?
Same guy.
Did you recognize the G-Man? What was his name?
Mark Davis. Oh, the character Mark Davis or the actor, you mean?
The actor.
I looked at his credits. Okay. I didn't reckon, but I looked at his credits.
Yeah, he was the king of Seatopia in Godzilla vs. Megalon.
Yeah, after I saw that, I was like, oh yeah.
That's totally him. It's like 11 years later or something like
that. He's also in the Green Slime.
Ooh, what's that? Is that something we should do?
They're monsters. It's
probably more fitting
than it's fun.
It's probably more fitting than our next episode.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It is in a way, but our next episode is still Ishiro Honda. So
yeah.
Still watch. My biggest thing for this movie, the whole time as I'm watching it, being like. Now that's what I'd call a space amoeba. Why wasn't this movie Space Amoeba?
Right.
This one should have been Space Amoeba the whole time, especially at the end, like when the squid splits open and there's like a whole bunch of little flying pieces of shrinky dink just bouncing up and down on strings. That I was going, look, or like when they're like when you'd see the early. Space Amoeba's opening the save and stuff like that. These are like, oh man, these are totally Space Amoebas.
Yeah. This is
the movie they should have been Space Amoeba. And they're like, man, you have this movie, this monster that eats all the carbon and you know, this big like giant Space Amoeba that eats all this carbon. Wait a minute, what'd you say? Space Amoeba. That sounds good. Wait, hold on. Let me write that down. Space Amoeba. I got to come up with a new thing. Space Amoeba.
Because Space Amoeba was just a squid or an octopus.
Yeah, it was just another squid.
This movie. So like, I didn't really care for the diamond stuff.
And
other stuff wasn't super interesting. It was kind of run of the mill monster movie scientists and.
Yeah,
government stuff.
It was pretty much very kind of format like let's try this I discovered this real easily and now we just gotta have to and there's stuff in there that's like totally looks like this must be like stock footage laboratory stock footage military preparing things there's so much that would just like it just didn't have like the full heart.
There's like music from other movies in this one.
Yeah.
They're during the laboratory scene where they just had like shots of the laboratory. It was like music from Destroy All Monsters. It's a bizarre movie, but I gotta tell you, like all of the, I guess, Dagora stuff, the space squid looked amazing.
That when he was full size?
Yeah, like kind of coming through the clouds.
Yeah, like, that was cool. They like, shot it, like, in water.
I was going to say, it looks like they shot it in water. That's why I felt like this movie, he just wanted to try like experimenting with stuff. Because I feel
I like it when they do that for like ghosts in movies, and they just kind of like they shoot them in water, so they have that airy flowiness. It's always cool.
Because when it like receded into the clouds, all the tentacles stretched as it like swam into the sky, and then there was a lot of like rear projection. It looks like there's a lot of rear projection shots where they would just have like a cityscape or even like a laboratory, and then they would just put people in the foreground to do the reactions. And I feel like a lot of this stuff was really just experimental, seeing what they can do. There was a shot in one of the movies we watched recently. I think it might have been Ghidorah, the Three-Headed Monster, where the city just imploded. It was like a giant model city that just imploded. Yeah. And then I believe also stuff started floating to the sky. I feel like they experimented with that too, trying to get that look of like the rocks being pulled up from the ground, or like power lines and stuff getting ripped from the ground and going straight up. I don't know if that stuff was shot on like an upside down set and it was just dropped or what, but it was all real cool looking. I feel like all of the stuff with the rocks going up into the squid or amoeba or Dagora, whatever it is, I'm probably going to call him an amoeba. But I thought all that stuff looked really good.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the monster was cool looking, but it couldn't interact with anything.
Except the bridge.
You kind of saw the bridge, but that was like a different, that was like an anime, you just saw like animated tentacles and stuff. The destruction, the model stuff was, again, it was on par, it was good stuff, but it, you know, you don't get the, you know, you don't get the stomping that you want in model destruction. So, I mean, it was fun. I thought there's a lot that was really cool. There's like there's that big thing that's on like one of the special gun things that shoots gas at, I want to call him the space me so many times, at Dagora. And it's like, it's on these like, kind of like, these like these wheels, and so like it wheels in like it's supposed to be, look like this is giant essentially like fire extinguisher machine thing that shoots the stuff. So there's that kind of stuff was fun. I mean, it was cool, but the thing when he split open and became a bunch of little things again, all those things just kind of like bouncing up and down in the sky was kind of anticlimactic.
Right.
It didn't quite have the impact. It didn't create a sense of fear that, oh no, he's going to multiply and that's going to be it.
Right.
There's elements of that were suggested, like the whole thing about where they like, you know, right now he's just looking for like coal and diamonds and like stuff that's like full carbon.
Yeah.
But eventually, if he runs out of that, he's going to be looking for carbon in everything else, which is like basically every living thing on the planet. And that concern was addressed briefly at the beginning, and I don't think that type of imperative stayed with us.
Yeah. It would have been cool to see like a dog fight maybe with those little things. But they just kind of bobbed up and down.
They just bounce up and down, yeah. It was interesting that I did like the thing that they'd figured out that would kill him was bee venom.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of cool that they came out with this premise that there's a bunch of bees flying way high in the atmosphere because somehow the bees figured it out and knew it was their job to
defend the earth.
Well, I don't know if they were defending the earth, but they may have just been defending their, you know, their own livelihood in that bee mentality. And they went after it and like, that's weird that the bees are up there.
Right.
And and so then they're like, oh great, now we just gotta go milk a bunch of bees and get, and they had like, we gotta get everybody in the lab on it. They cut to that laboratory, and that laboratory is jam-packed full of people, all with like green liquids and stuff, walking around working on stuff. It looks so staged and so funny.
I like, but that's the stuff I like. I mean, I was kind of, it would be cool if they had like a giant bee, like kaiju, like Mothra style, to have a fight with this.
Oh yeah,
but
right, or a mecha bee that they design that's just full of that venom and it just goes over there and stings them.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, we were just trying to rewrite it, make it more interesting. this was an all puppet kaiju. And I think for 64, was there another all puppet kaiju before that? That was like, had no dude in there. Like that might've been part of also like where you talked about, experimental innovation stuff.
What year was this again?
64.
I'm assuming we've had Mothra by then, right?
Oh,
Mothra, okay. Mothra's all puppet.
Yeah, good point.
But not, I mean, underwater. Still, okay. Like,
whatever. But it was definitely like, definitely a part of it.
It's usually rare when I start working on the artwork for like Instagram and stuff, and like the YouTube page, before seeing the movie. But because we're still kind of stuck at home.
Yeah. Man.
I kind of got ahead and started doing some stuff from upcoming movies. And I already, when I looked for images for this movie, for the YouTube page, I saw the picture of Dagora coming out of the clouds and I'm like, that looks CG. Just the still of it looks CG.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if this is from the movie or not. So then I like put on the trailer. I'm like, oh, it is from the movie. Oh man, I'm excited. This thing looks amazing. I can't wait to watch it. And it kind of didn't live up to my expectations or my excitement, right. I guess.
Right.
But man, like I'd be okay if this movie was 45 minutes.
It's cool to watch.
Yeah.
We're checking that one part, but yeah, that kind of,
yeah.
But he's not in that form for very long.
No. But I mean, man, it looks so cool. It looks so cool. I thought
it had it open up, had like the open bits and stuff, and yeah, it was cool looking.
It made me start thinking about like our upcoming lists for the end of the show, and I'm like, I don't think this is a cool design, but I think the way it moves and the way it looks, like it looks so unique, and I'm surprised they haven't really done that since, like create like an underwater sort of effect, you know, for a creature that's in the sky. I can't think of any other thing that's done that. We've seen like just kaijus in sets that they pretend is water, but we've never seen this before. And I'm always a big fan of the Flash Gordon movie from like what, 1979 or 80?
Yes.
Where the sky is clearly that like water with like food coloring, milk like poured into the water and then shot like clouds. Like clearly they were doing some of that on this. And I just love that effect. And I always think it looks more cool than like what a CG sky would look like.
Sure.
I feel like movies from like DC, like Man of Steel and Suicide Squad have like that thing where like a big ball of trash like gets sucked into the sky and is just kind of hovering there. I thought this was a similar thing, but looked cooler because you could tell it was real.
There's like a more tactile quality to it.
Yeah, the comp on the rocks going up sometimes wasn't the greatest.
No, like they would wobble. They were wiggle and stuff on their on their strings.
But that smoky water tank cloud effect. I just love, I think they might have done that for Independence Day, actually. I could be wrong. But when like when the big ships come out of the clouds, I think they utilize that effect.
Yeah, I like that too.
It just looks magical. Sorry.
One of the things you were talking about, us being shut in, and just it is definitely hard not to have, you know, the time that you're living reflect in the way you watch movies and stuff. And in this movie, with everything going on and all the talk now about the future of what the policing should be, there's so many times like that the cops just pull out their guns and just start shooting at people in the street and cars in the street with like nothing. And I was going, I was a little extra sensitive right now just to see them whipping and shooting guns like that. Cause like right away, I'm like, the police are so quick to shoot their guns.
Yeah. We haven't had problems with that. Cause like before this, cause we like, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, like there's just like a ton of shootouts and stuff. And we're like, oh, that's kind of fun. But yeah, there was something weird about that. And I think it happens in the next movie too, where where there's these like cops just unload into a room. We'll get to that next time. But it's there. Yeah, it's weird seeing that stuff now.
You know what is a good tip off that actually something that I noticed that could be part of like the tip off that this was clearly done on like a lower budget than normal or on a shorter timeline than normal or both, was the scene at the beginning when the professor dumps out someone dumps out a bag of diamonds. It's either the professor or it's the thieves, and the shot is from, you know, it's like a wider shot of the diamonds getting dumped out, and then the camera moves in to a close-up of the diamonds, and they messed it up. There's no focus. It's a blurry shot of the diamonds. Oh. And I was like, man, they really needed another take of that. And then later, it's apparently, maybe it's part of the same take. Maybe there was a longer take, because they cut back to that same plate of diamonds, and it's like, now it's in focus. But that first part, where they just kind of zoomed in on it, there was nothing. I couldn't figure out what the hell. It was so bad. And I was like, man, they didn't go for a second take on just that little move. I mean, they must have been going, all right, we're done. Let's go. Move on.
Yeah. I mean, I have to look at the timeline for like a Shiro Honda movies, but it seems like he's doing like two a year or something. And they're like all effects movies too.
Oh, yeah. 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 This is the same year as Godzilla versus Mothra.
Oh, okay. Oh man, so I wonder which came out first. So this might be because maybe this is the first Marionette and then the Godzilla versus Mothra, but Mothra came out.
Oh no, Mothra was 61. I looked it up.
Some old faces we see, which is nice. Akiko Wakabayashi, one of my favorites. She was the queen in the Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
Okay.
She was in this one. She played kind of the sort of the girl thief, diamond thief. She ends up stealing the diamonds.
Was she the one that was in a Bond movie that you mentioned before?
Yeah. She's in You Only Live Twice. All right. She's a favorite. I like her. So there was one dude that was like a nervous wreck that was part of the gang. He was the guy that like warns everybody, she took the diamonds, and she's like all super scared. And then he's like, the cops are coming. That guy, why is he working with these guys if he can't handle, like, everyone seemed real cool about being diamond thieves, but this guy was just like a complete like wreck.
Yeah. He's like the Jimmy Olsen of, okay. Godzilla vs. Mothra came out before.
Okay. But Mothra, that came out before as well, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah, that was like years before. Yeah, the same year, Mothra came out in April of 64 and Agora came out August of 64. But, you know, that's like crazy. I liked the notion where, like, the Diamond Thieves are calling Diamond Thief headquarters, and they have the desk that transforms and a big antenna pops up.
Right.
And he puts on headphones. I thought that was really fun.
So this is 1964?
Yeah.
So this is the same year that Goldfinger came out, which had something similar happen. But this,
oh really?
This would have come out before, huh? It must have
there's
been a
definitely,
big year
there's
for.
There's definitely. I like there. There's definitely in this era. There's a lot of like, in both, maybe it's also just mixed into the influence of like the American. But like, remember last time we were watching that one movie where like all the henchmen were kind of like, kind of felt like they were being like
American.
Like American, yeah. 30s, 40s gangster movie guys, like,
yeah.
Like flipping coins and just having big shoulders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, this also is very much in a similar way. I had that similar feeling.
Yeah. And I was looking for that too, to see how they acted. That was also Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. My favorite part, it happened at the beginning, and I was hoping there would be more stuff like it. Was that one dude was like drunk and he was just like floating down the alley on his side.
Yes.
Do you remember that dude?
Yeah.
I wanted more stuff like that. I like that Ghidorah kind of like was like controlling things and pulling stuff up like people.
There's ragged. I like when they try to kill Mark Davis by rolling the drug at him, and there's a moment where like he's like it's just a shot of him watching the truck, and then he see him looking up, and I was like, oh, your eye line's all wrong, dude. The truck wouldn't be that high. Cut to the truck, and the truck rolls, and then suddenly starts lifting off. So it wasn't quite edited perfectly, right. But I like how that was actually apparently the direction he had gotten.
Yeah, he got the right eye line, but the editor kind of mixed up.
By the way, I read a thing that this was supposed to be a launching point for the Mark Davis character, who they were thinking about doing a series of G-Man style movies with him as the star. That never happened.
I liked him.
He was fun. Yeah. And apparently he speaks Japanese.
I was wondering about that because I saw him when you look at the dub. A lot of times you can tell if they're being dubbed over English or Japanese,
right.
And it looked like he was being dubbed over Japanese, or he was saying something completely.
Yeah,
different
he speaks
English.
Japanese. I think they said something. There's like one line in it that he says in English, but the rest he does his lines in Japanese.
And then, yeah, I looked him up. I'm like, he looks familiar. And then I saw that he was in Godzilla versus Megalon. And I think he might be in Godzilla versus Mothra.
Yeah, I think you're just, right. There's like some more ancillary characters that he played. Like there's stuff where he's listed as something like submarine captain and things like that.
Yeah. I was thinking though, like as an actor knowing Japanese, like man, if I lived in the 60s and I wanted to be an actor, I would totally spend however many years it took to learn Japanese and be the like sort of like token American guy in like all these movies, like a Nick Adams. Cause like Nick Adams is like the coolest guy on the planet. Cause he was in like the coolest, he was in Frankenstein Conquers the World and Monster Zero, which are both in our top five, you know, like how cool is that to be like that guy? Like, I don't know if that's where he wanted to be in his life or what, but for me, I'd be like, man, that would be like tops.
Yeah. When you look him up, he's also, oh, it says, yeah, he's U.S. Navy soldier in Mothra versus Godzilla uncredited. By the way, speaking of uncredited, also uncredited in Ghidorah is Haruo Nakajima, who apparently, according to the stats in the IMDb, he plays man near thermal power plant.
Oh. So yeah. probably one of those rear projection shots. I'm assuming. Because that's what all those rear projection shots look like. It looked like a cityscape with one person standing in front or two people standing in the foreground.
Right.
That's cool.
oh, you know what? It's great. Sorry, now that I'm looking at the credits, it's very funny to me. The guy, the little guy, in the Diamond Thief ring.
Yeah.
His character is listed as Sabu the Small Fry.
No. That's pretty great. I don't have any notes. I just looked over them and I've touched on everything I wanted to talk about.
We almost had a Big Brother cock block.
Oh, I did not bring that up. When she's hanging out with that dude and she said, "This is my brother." I'm like, "Oh, here we go."
Oh, please, please, please.
It didn't pan out though. I was waiting for it.
Oh, Japanese tea. I like this. Man, all these lines. So I had written them down. What kind of a Japanese are you? The karate chop is supposed to be a Japanese trick. Oh, and then later he gets him back with doing judo. He's like, judo. Oh, okay. You know what else I like? when the first time you see Mark Jackson and the first time they do the bit with the hidden shoes under the curtain.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then Mark Jackson, he goes to sneak out the window. He throws his shoes out first and then jumps out.
He's great. Wonder if him and Nick Adams are in a movie together or if they hung out.
I think the lab where they made the bee toxin was called the Medical Substance Lab.
Oh, yeah.
Utopia. Oh, you know what else is cool? Those periscope binoculars.
Oh, yeah. I like those, like, just in general. When I was a kid, I always wanted those. I'm like, you could look around a corner or you could look over a wall.
I don't know what else to say about this movie. It's
fine.
Yeah, you get it from the clips. You don't need to really watch it. It's not going to get a lot of rewatches, I think.
I feel like if Mark Jackson went on and did do more movies, it'd be like, okay, you got to watch it to see. This is the first one he's in.
It would be interesting to kind of like check out the Mark Jackson. It's so funny. When you said, okay, what year was Megalon?
It's like 74 or something.
Man. So it's like, yeah, this is going to be great. You know, 73. It's going to be great. You're going to come and, you know, oh, this is great. We like this Mark Davis character. We got some ideas. Maybe we'll do some other Mark Davis things. It's cool, 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 cool. Time passes. He goes, okay, hey, we got a job for you. Oh, great. I've been waiting for this call. No. So he's in a toga and you are the emperor of an underwater society called Seatopia. And well, a job's a job. yeah, I knew there were some people who looked very American but spoke fluent Spanish that would often go down and get work in like Mexican soap operas and stuff like that a lot. And I bet there was probably similar demand to have basically Caucasian people who could speak Japanese to do Japanese stuff. I mean, it just adds this extra, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
International flair.
Probably exotic.
They could probably market it here a lot easier.
Well, I think that definitely helped. Like Nick Adams and those things definitely kind of made it like an American and Japanese production, kind of like a joint production.
I thought the movie was okay. I wasn't super thrilled on it. It felt like two completely different movies.
Just got kind of boring.
Yeah. Not a lot of monster stuff, but what there was I thought was really cool. All the model stuff, the bridge destruction, the stuff like that. I just thought it has that sort of Toho look, that Toho 60s look.
Now, why do you think the diamond drivers, the guys who were delivering the box of diamonds?
Yeah.
And they drive, they like do some like hit a bump and they turn on the light and take a look at it. Like, it's fine. And you get look at it. It's fine. What did they think was going to happen to that box of diamonds?
I don't know.
It's like they kept checking on it. They were so careful. It was almost like they were like transporting dynamite.
Her eggs. Well, if it's dynamite, you know when it goes wrong.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like the like in Sorcerer. Right.
When I'm like on the freeway and I'm stuck behind someone slow, or if I'm going down the street and someone's in front of me and they're like take a turn really slow, I always say, "What are you delivering, a cake?" Probably say that. This is one of my go-to sayings. What are you delivering, cake? Let's go. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we did it. It's
we watched. We did a podcast about this movie.
It's low on the Ishiro Honda list for me, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a crapshoot when it comes to his movies, because even a movie like Matango, where you only see like the monsters in like the last like 10 or 15 minutes, there's something about the rest of the movie where you're just kind of like waiting. It's a little more intense, and them like the setting of being on the island and stuff is kind of interesting. And there's a mystery like kind of revolving around it. This one didn't kind of have that intrigue. It wasn't terribly like, it doesn't really grab you like some of the other ones. But I feel like the effects were really interesting and sort of top notch. I thought it was really like the whole, I mean, you're going to dump milk into a tank of water, I'm going to be excited. You know, yeah, I don't know. Next episode. You excited about that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Ishiro Honda again.
I mean, it's a little, okay. So yes, watching Dagora makes me a little gun shy about it, in the sense that, okay, we're kind of doing two back to back of,
right,
not so famous Ishiro Honda movies.
Yeah.
But I still trust the guy.
I want to say like this next movie replaced Raiga, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
I think this got dropped in. We were watching The Human Vapor. which, yeah, okay. We'll get to it.
We can't wait.
We can't wait to say the two words. But we are watching The Human Vapor. Come back next time, because you're going to want to hear us say words that aren't human or vapor. So check that out on kaijupod.com. That'll give you also links to our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And until next time, stand in front of this rear projection screen and act scared.
I'm gonna stick some shoes under this curtain and hide somewhere else.
I almost said that. Oh, I forgot. There's one scene that I wanted to talk about real quick. Was the dynamite.
Right, we always say what we're going to go do.
I know, but the dynamite scene.
Yep. Him throwing dynamite out the window?
No, them sticking the dynamite in the shirts, and then him on the ground trying to get the gun, and then shooting it behind his back and missing. Oh, that was cool. All right. Until next time, I'm going to do all that stuff. That scene was awesome. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.